Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask your strength in and through him by your Spirit. In his name we pray. Amen. As we've been looking at John chapter 10, we find ourselves down at verse 17. And we see an interesting phrase, that which is spoken in verse 11, 14, and 17. First, let's look at verse 11, just by way of reminder that this is the verse that sets the stage, is the theme for chapter 10 of John. It reads, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Of course, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, and speaking of himself, the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. Then when we look at verse 14, it says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and have known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I, so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And then finally notice what it says in verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. So we see here three times that it speaks of the one that will lay down his life, the good shepherd. It's mentioned even once again in verse 18. As we continue, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. So we see here the Lord Jesus Christ speaking of the fact that he would lay down his life for the sheep. So we see in these verses in John 10 that one, he is willing to lay down his life for the sheep. And secondly, we see that he is able to lay down his life for the sheep. I think of a verse over there in the book of Romans. If you will, turn to Romans chapter 5. And over in Romans chapter 5, the scripture says this, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we see that he was willing to lay down his life for us. And then we see also that he was able, capable, to lay down his life for us. We see that many people can lay down their life, but to do it in such a fashion that you are able to pay for the sin of the world is a different story entirely. Christ was not only willing, but he was able to lay down his life. He was willing to be made a curse. For cursed is he that hangeth upon the tree, the scripture says. He was made a curse for us. So also, it's very unique that not only was he willing, was he able, but yet, he was able to take up his life again. Consider again verse 17 and 18. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. See, there we see that he was going to be resurrected. If you notice in Acts and in Romans and places in the Word of God, we could turn to different places. It speaks of the fact that God has risen the Son from the dead. And also it speaks of the Spirit of God in its connection with the power of raising Christ from the dead. But yet in John chapter 2, and also here in John 10, we see that it speaks of how Christ himself had power to take up his life again. If you remember in John 2, when he was telling those that did not believe him, he said, 3 days, he spoke of how he would raise up the temple after he would tear it down. He said, I'll tear this temple down, and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. But he was speaking of the temple of his body. And they thought he was speaking of the building, the temple. But he was speaking of his power to raise from the dead after his body would be upon that cross and die for your sin and mine. So we see here his willingness, his ability, both brought out in the fact that he would lay down his life for the sheep. So as we go on here, let's notice some passages in Luke chapter 23, just a few passages or a few verses back. Luke 23, look at verse 46. When he's upon the cross, he says this, "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost." This word gave up, these words mean in the Greek, means expired. He gave up the ghost. No man took his life from him, but he gave his life. Look with me in John, this time chapter 19 and verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. We see the scripture had been fulfilled. The Messiah had come. He had laid down his life for the sheep. Think of Isaiah 53, of how it spoke so vividly as Israel could read their own Old Testament, their own scriptures, and see of this one that was coming. Isaiah 53 is such a tremendous passage in connection with the death of Christ. We see in verse 6, or rather verse 5, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth." He goes on to say in verse 10, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." Even in the Old Testament, we see a clear picture of the coming Messiah that would give his life for the sheep. He poured out his soul unto death. We see this is the one that said that he had power to lay down his life and power to take it again. Think later on in the book of John of how there was the one, Thomas, and he had doubts. He was not there the first time that they came together. But this time, rather in John 20, we see the one that would not, that had not been with them a week earlier when the Lord appeared to the disciples. Verse 27, this is when the Lord came before them. And the one Thomas had already said, "Except I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger in the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." But he came on later and said, "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." So we see here, he appeared unto them after his resurrection. The one that had to lay down his life the one that had the power to take it up again, showed himself unto some of those which he had died. He was seen by above 500 brethren. He was seen by Mary and some of the women that believed, and he was seen by the disciples. This is the one that laid down his life for you and I. And yet he also not only had the power and the authority to lay it down, but he had the power and the authority to take it up again. So we just ask you today, do you know him? This one that laid his life down for you. Well, as we go on through John 10, we see that also there is a division among the Jews for these things. Many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Of course, we see in chapter 9, which runs right flowing into chapter 10 here, that he had given a man sight that was blind. And as we go on through here, again, in the midst of chapters 5 to 11, we see the Jews as they reject Christ and how that they had all the light of the world. They had Christ there, speaking of who he was and why he was there, yet they continually rejected him, looking to stone him and to kill him, to persecute him, each chapter from chapters 5 to 11. And here is what we hear from the Jews in the reaction from Christ. Verse 24, then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Recall in chapter 5, he said, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. He had made it clear that he was God manifest in the flesh, that he and the Father were equal in works. But verse 26, he says, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. And as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So the Son of God speaks of how no one will ever pluck his sheep out of his hand. But notice 29, the next verse, he says the very same thing about the Father. He said, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. There we see the equality of the Father and the Son. No one can pluck the sheep of God, the children of God, out of the hand of the Father and the Son. Verse 30, he says, I and my Father are one. Now, if anyone ever questioned and ever challenged you to say that Christ was not God in the flesh when he was here on the earth, after such a statement, could there be any question? But notice here with me, the ones that were his brethren as far as Hebrew brethren, they, being of Israel, knew what he was saying. There was no mistake of what he was saying. They went on to say, as the Jews took up stones again to stone him, Jesus answered them, many good works have I shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? And the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. It was obvious to them that he was claiming to be God. Now, if it was you or I, and we had been mistaken, and someone said, you claim to be God, we're going to stone you, wouldn't we immediately say, look, you misunderstood me? There was none of that with the Lord Jesus Christ, for their accusation this time was true. You, as a man, makest thyself God. This was the truth. They didn't believe their own accusation, but it was the truth. God, manifest in the flesh, was the one they sought to stone. I and my Father are one. So we see here clearly in John 10 the deity of Christ. And we also see the eternal security of those that are the true sheep of God. We see that eternal security is based on his righteousness, not our righteousness. Because the scripture says that the one whom you know sin was made sin for us. And it goes on to speak of how we are made the righteousness of Christ. If it was based upon our righteousness, then we could lose our salvation. We'd lose it probably in a matter of seconds after we claim to have it. But the fact is, the Word of God tells us that we have been declared righteous because when we are born again, we have the righteousness of Christ. It's not our righteousness. Praise God for that. His righteousness is untarnished, and it will not fade away. Well, today we've been looking further into John 10. This is Mike Moody along with Mark Beebe and Jeff Buckles and Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry. Join us again. Thank you.